Hey, welcome back. Time for the last segment of the KE Report. I'm talking right now, perhaps just a skosh, a little bit about politics, but I'm talking about my feeling that the government right now, at least until after the election, and I would probably have to say 2020, that election, the interim, I would have to say that the federal government is going to continue to support what I would call goose, an economy that is in trouble. Rick, your comments on that.
Well, that's true. It's inflate or die right now. And Congress, I'm not going to lay this all on the Democrats either, because it's really bipartisan. They only differ on the bottom line. But, you know, we're in a kind of a surreal zone where we've got these landlord subsidies going out to people in the form of unemployment bonuses and this and that. And you can see that's everywhere you live. You can see it's killing the local economies. Probably two-thirds of the places that I buy things from or restaurants where I eat, they've shortened their hours because they just can't find help. And of course, the sole reason for that is because the government, to an extreme, has disincentivized work. So, you know, it's sort of the same. You can't get anybody to shovel your lawn, shovel the snow from your walk or mow your lawn. And that's extended now to the bigger, much bigger picture. So the government, they're not even pretending that we need support, and the Fed is on board for that little charade too. It's like, we'll just keep stimulating, even though statistically there's not a good case to be made. The Fed is saying, we don't want to take any chances, we'll just keep sending out those checks. And of course, they've created a universal belief in the free lunch, but trust me, all the money that they're showering consumers with at this point is going to have to be paid for at some point. It all is coming from, it's originating in debt. There's debt created when these dollars are mailed out.
Of course they are.
And believe me, it has a cost. And that goes back to something that C.V. Myers wrote in his book, The Coming Deflation.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I've repeated over the last 30 years, maybe 1,000 times. But Myers said that ultimately, every penny of every debt must be paid, if not by the borrower, then by the lender.
That's
so
right.
Just a good example, most people think that if they get behind on their mortgage payments, they just leave the keys in the mailbox and bail out, and so the debt is forgotten. But it's not forgotten by the creditors. They're going to pay every penny of that the value of that house off if they don't sell it.
That's right.
And they may have to sell it at a low price, which is where you get deflation. And another example would be the student loans. We've been in sort of a wink-wink game for 4 or 5 years about, oh, you know, we'll eventually forgive it all. And it's been kind of a slippery slope because not everybody, in fact, only a small minority was on board for just blanket forgiveness of all student loans. It just doesn't seem fair to people who work their tails off to pay for college. So here are the politicians saying, oh, we'll just forget $1.7 trillion of debt. Well, the fact is, the moment that's forgotten, whoever the creditors are, meaning the people who bought bonds that paid for these student loans, they're out all that money. Every
that's
penny
right.
of that $1.7 trillion is going to be paid by lenders. And the more you continue to stiff lenders like that, the less willing they're going to be to lend. And that's why in the coming deflationary crash that's coming, it's going to be very painful if we should even try to hyperinflate our way out of it, which is the same thing as saying, let's screw all the creditors.
Right.
You know, let's have some sort of debt jubilee where you can trust that the creditors, meaning the whole banking system, is not going to be that keen on making loans for the next 100 years. So if you try to inflate your way out of a debt hole, you're going to essentially destroy the institutional conduits of lending.
Right.
Deflation at least has the virtue, if you can call it that, of visiting the pain on borrowers in accordance with the extent of their sins.
Rick, let's get down to bottom line here. Let's get down to basics. There are a lot of people who are invested, a lot of people in my demographic who are invested in the economy for their, I would have to say, livelihood for the rest of their lives. Now, I agree from a fundamental standpoint. I don't think this economy can continue to be strong forever. And I thank God that I have an investment advisor who agrees with me and who's constantly looking for alternatives. But let's put a time frame on this. And I'll tell you what, I'll stick my foot in my mouth first. I would say that once the Democrats get comfortable with the strength of their position, which could be after the next interim election, I think you're going to start seeing explanations coming from the executive office and Congress as to why the economy needs to continue to or start to significantly rebuild because the investment climate stinks. You got a comment on that, Rick?
I think the problems that we've created for ourselves up till now or at this point go beyond politics. I don't think there's a political solution, and it's not a question any longer of Democrats or Republicans who inherits the mess and what they're going to do with it. There is no way out, and I think that a deflationary collapse lies ahead, and it's as inevitable as the next bear market, and that's really what's going to happen. A bear market will be the essentially ground zero of the deflationary shock, and it's going to set things in motion that will happen too quickly to inflate out of. The Fed can only do so much monetizing, but I think in the implosion that's coming, they're going to have a hard time adding zeros to the ledger.
Yeah.
Faster than they're getting wiped off. So I'm not even looking for any kind of political solution because we've grown too completely dependent on cheap credit, and we've gotten in a hole that can't really be fixed.
Rick, I agree with you 1,000%. I'm looking right now, we're down to about 2 minutes. I'm looking right now for just a gut level feeling for time frame that this could happen. I said I think it could happen after the next interim election. What does Rick Ackerman think?
I would just say that we're overdue. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen in a year or 2 years. I've lacked the imagination to see just how extreme the absurdities could become in terms of how much we owe and the amounts that the federal government is borrowing and the size of the essentially worthless assets that the Federal Reserve is carrying on its books, the quote unquote high quality collateral. So it's anybody's guess, but I really think that the bear market's going to be the event that triggers it, and there's no doubt, really, about the fact that bear markets happen.
Yeah.
You've got some forecasters out there saying, screw it, this boom is going for another 10 years. But I think they're not cognizant of the fact that we'll be launching off what is already a hugely inflated bubble. So I don't see another 10 years of this, not by any stretch, but I'm kind of done picking tops. It's going to happen in October the same way all disasters happen, including the crash of 29.
Right.
I don't know. The more you get fixated on that, the less it's likely to happen. But a bear market is coming, and it's long overdue.
Rick, the only comment I can make is I thank God every day that I've got an investment advisor who's pretty skookum on this stuff, because I agree 100%. I don't want to be at my age and have to try to live off a couple of pensions and Social Security. I'm not in that position that I can do that. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten as accurate as we can in our predictions. Hope you enjoyed the show. I enjoyed putting it together. Thanks, Rick.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.